Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah chapter 60. The prophet Isaiah chapter 60, the vision and the dove. Well, I got to ask you something. There's a picture up there of the new Family Life Center. And last Sunday, as we walked out of the church, or we walked into the church, it was when I walked out, many of you pointed out this dove that was on top of the building. How many of you saw the dove last Sunday? Well, a good number of you did. Now, I'll tell you what I thought. Now, my first thought was this, I got that as a point today, that God was speaking to my heart, at least, saying that there's a peace. I've got this. Amen. So that's my first thought. But then, as I went on my day, I thought, well, is that being a little bit too dramatic? And so I went on during the week, and I thought, that just is a happenstance. I mean, that a dove would be on top of this new building we just got built. And I tried to dismiss it. And the more I tried to dismiss it, the more the Lord dealt with my heart. And so I really appreciate Dale Pope. As he went out the building, he said something that grabbed my heart. And this always should grab anyone's heart. He said, Pastor, I was reading the scripture in Isaiah chapter 60. And when he said this, it really just drew me right in. He said, I don't know if I am interpreting it right. I don't understand it. I'm not sure if I'm taking it out of context, but it talks about a dove who has roosted or is in its nest. And when he said that, that really hit me. And I thought, well, I'm going to study this chapter. But the more I studied it, the more I got out of it. And so I have to say this before I preach. What is the chances that during church on a Sunday morning that we would come here and some said they saw it at 9:30, and that dove would sit there right there on the top of that building from 9 to 9:30 till about 12:30 or quarter to one when I left, that dove was still up there on that building. Could it be? Can God use a dove? Well, Scripture has quite a bit to say about a dove. Now, I am so sorry, but Miss, I don't like doing this. Now I can't think of her name. Larry, what is your wife's name? Lois, I couldn't think. Lois, I was sitting here Wednesday night, and I was looking at that banner. And it's like God just sort of grabbed a hold of me. And I was supposed to listen to what Sherry had to say, but she was right in line, you know. I get distracted. I have OCD and all this. Anyway, I was looking. I was listening, but I was looking. And I thought, I wonder what Miss Lois was thinking when she made that banner. And you know, that's a ministry God's given her. And, every so often, every season, she has a different banner up there. But that banner fits this sermon perfectly. I mean, perfectly. Because he talks about the sun rising. And he's talking about the church rising up. And the church should look like a sunrise for people to come to Christ. But without the Holy Spirit, it can't be done. And so the dove, of course, and we'll see that in a moment, is also represents the Holy Spirit. So if you have your place now, you should have it by now. Isaiah chapter 60, let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God. Holy infallible word. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness that covered the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to that light, to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thy eyes round about and see, talking about vision here, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Media and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my God. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to the windows? Or as the New King James Version says, their roofs. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as you've spoke to my heart this week, that none of us have missed you. Because, Lord, the main thought I've had this week is that I would not miss you. And so, Father, I pray that there would be nothing to distract us right now. That we would consider the fact that you are trying to speak to us as a church. God, may we hear what the Spirit says today, not what our flesh says, not what the world says. In my reasoning, I would dismiss this dove. In my flesh, I would dismiss it. But I thank you for the Holy Spirit that keeps speaking to my heart, and you've spoken to my heart concerning the Scripture. Now, God, I pray that from my heart to the heart of every person here, that you will speak, that lives will be changed. I pray if there's one who does not know you in pardon and forgiveness of sin, that just as these hundreds and thousands of Gentiles are coming to Christ one day, I pray there'll be many who name the name of Christ today, that your Holy Spirit would work in and change lives. In Jesus' name, I pray for your anointing. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So speaking of vision or lack thereof, you've probably seen the friend request on social media or on Facebook. I don't do Facebook. But anyway, I'm not into it very much. But I read this. A friend of mine had two tickets for the 2019 Super Bowl. They are box seats plus airfare and hotel accommodations. He didn't realize that when he bought them that this was the same day of his wedding, so he can't go. If you're interested and want to go instead of him, it's at St. Peter's Church in New York City at 5 p.m. Her name is Donna, and she will be the one in the white dress. Now, I don't know. That guy has a different kind of way of looking at things than most people. Number one, you better make sure you get your dates right. And number two, I guess you better make sure you go to the wedding instead of the Super Bowl. It's interesting what's happening today in Atlanta, Georgia, and all week long, how people are so geared up for the Super Bowl. I would love to see God do something here today that we would see a supernatural bowl take place. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God just came and sat down in the midst of his people and we begin to recognize that our God is bigger than any Super Bowl. Now, you know, we don't like to talk about money, but let me tell you something. At the Super Bowl today, $5.3 million for a 30-second ad. I can't afford that ad. I don't think any of us can. But is God bigger than the Super Bowl? Yes, he is. What can God do through his people? That's a good question. Well, this chapter is a vision, if you will, of the glorious state of the New Jerusalem, that is the Church of Jesus Christ, during the reign of Christ, his millennium reign upon this earth. It is to all of God's people, though. And of course, it's speaking to Israel, but it's speaking to us as well. And as I said, it will be fulfilled in the millennium kingdom. The prophet sees in vision the Messiah as having already come. He's seeing as if it's already done. By the way, that's how God loves to work. We ought to see God as it's already done. I read the back of the book. We win. Amen. So the prophet sees the vision that the Messiah has already come and as pouring out the light of salvation on a darkened church in a world. The vision of the prophet brings before him the cloud of converts that would be multiplied in such numbers that they would seem to be like dense clouds clouds, like a crowd of people walking across the desert, and all of a sudden you see the dust clouds being built, just clouds and clouds of people, the scripture says here, who are making their way to Zion, the city of God. And this strikingly expresses the fact, the number of great conversions. And I personally believe that God is yet to pour out His Spirit like we've never seen before. I believe God's yet to do something. A lot of people have given up on God. They've given up on the church. They've given up on the Word of God. But I'm here to tell you, friend, God's not giving up on you. And God is still at work today. He's still alive and well. He is still on His throne. And He knows what He's doing. Now, the doves speak of peace and humility. And they're coming home to their nest. And maybe there's some today that would come home. You know, next Sunday is the Sunday before Valentine's, where the youth are doing a banquet that Saturday night. We're having a worship service next Sunday. Wouldn't it be great if we would do what my new members class, I didn't ask for this. These kids said, we were studying about heaven today. And so the kids said, Pastor Ronnie, we want all our friends to go to heaven. What if we had invitation cards? And what if we gave everyone in school a card this week? Well, I just happen to have a whole box right under my desk. And I gave them all those invitation cards, and they have promised to give them out. What if all of us would invite just one person next Sunday? Because we love them. You ask this person, has anybody told you that God loves you? And whether they say yes or no, tell them God loves them. And you loved them enough to invite them to church next Sunday. So I'm glad you're here today, so we should have twice as many next Sunday. If we all just did one. And that is the theme for the Southern Baptist Convention. It really is. For the next year or so, who's your one? Who's your one? Who's the one that God would put on your heart, that you would love them enough to invite them to church? Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. God is working, and He's moving. And right here in our midst, I think about this building over here, and the purpose of it was to reach our community. That was the purpose of it being built, to reach our community. And so I want to talk about that today. Three words I believe the Lord put on my heart about this scripture. Number one, presence. In scripture, the dove represents the Holy Spirit. And when I look at this banner, that's what I think of. I think of the dove up there over the sun. The sun rise, the sun rays. In scripture, the dove, the Bible says in Luke 3:22, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. That's talking about Jesus. And by the way, this is my thought. Jesus became flesh so He could go to that cross. He lived a sinless life. He lived as an example for us. How did He do it? He had the Holy Spirit upon Him. And folks, if there ever was a time that we need to be Spirit-filled, it's today. The world is dark. We are children of light, and we're to walk in that light. Well, how do you walk in light? That's a tough order in such a dark time. And many times our light becomes sort of dimmed by the darkness of the world. How can we let our light shine? Well, number one, the light of His presence. He says, arise and shine in verse 1. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The sunrise is in us with the blaze of God's glory that will draw people to Christ, because we are so excited. We're so passionate. We're so filled with the light of God's glory that people see it in us. Like Moses when he came off that mount, the people saw the glow, the glory of God on his face. What if we would worship God in such a fashion today that we go out here at lunch and someone says, what's that all over your face? There's sparkles on your face. Oh, I got sparkles. You ever get some, you hug someone, you know, some of these women, they got the sparkle. I don't know. Sometimes I get home, I say, where do the sparkles come from? Wouldn't it be great if people would just see our face radiating the love of Christ? Wouldn't that be great? Well, how does it happen? How can this happen? Well, the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, is the light of the world. The call here is for the church to rise up and shine, to walk in the light of His presence every day in our life. That is for us as a church to rise up and shine in the darkest of days. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. amen, that people would look at you and say, there's something more about you than just you. Amen. There's something. You've got a joy about you. You've got a pep in your step. You've got something going on. I don't know what you've got, but I want what you've got. I mean, you're just so full of joy. What makes you happy all the time? You on drugs? I mean, folks, I think people, and you can say, yeah, my parents drugged me to church all my life. I'm telling you something. God will do a work like that. When you start just showing the love of Jesus, letting people know that he's real and he's alive. And by the way, it shouldn't just be here in the church. It should be in our public lives. Amen. Oh, the glory of his presence. That's the next thing I'm going to talk about. Not only the light, but the glory. You cannot hide the light of the presence of God in your life. It will arise and it will shine and the light will come. And we as a church should shine the light of his presence during our lives. So rise and shine for the glory of his presence. For behold, verse 2, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee and his glory shall be upon thee. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people out there today. They're walking in darkness. They're in sin. They're in depression. They're living defeated lives. I believe the glory of the Lord could pick them up. You know, I really believe that we could be a people of encouragement to say to that lost person, there's hope. To say to that defeated person, there is victory. To say to that person, you can come to know the same joy I've got, the glory of his presence. What is the glory of his presence? Well, it's necessitated by the night of spiritual darkness that's covered the earth and that covers the earth today. The darkness of ignorance, the darkness of sorrow, the darkness of sin is the gross darkness the prophet's talking about. The glory of his presence is when you and I allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill us. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, but what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that's a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled? It means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I don't speak in tongues, but I need the Holy Spirit to control the tongue I have. For me, that's the bigger challenge. It's not whether I speak in a holy language because I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I grew up as a child in a Pentecostal church. Every Sunday, people spoke in another tongue, okay? But you know what? I was told as a child that if I would receive, and they prayed for me every Sunday, it didn't work, but they prayed for me every Sunday that I would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You know, you can't have none of that if you don't have Jesus. Now, no one ever talked to me about Jesus. You know why I'm a Southern Baptist? Because it was a Southern Baptist that introduced me to Jesus. And so it was through the Roy Ambassador program. I was 9 years old. I started attending an RA group in our church, and I realized my need of Christ and accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior at a very young age. I'm very thankful I did. I'm not putting down any denomination. I'm just saying this. The glory of his presence is when the Holy Spirit fills you. I mean, friend, you and I need to be filled with the Spirit. You say, well, preacher, what if we Southern Baptists start speaking in tongues? We're not. We need the Holy Spirit to control the one we've got. And I personally believe I need the Holy Spirit, as in Acts 1:8, to go out and tell everyone else about Jesus. Now, someone asked me, said, what do you think of the Holy Spirit? I love him. I believe in his work. I believe that he can do a whole lot more than me just speaking in tongues. I believe he can use me to witness. In fact, without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be a witness. The glory of his presence is when the Holy Spirit's in control. That is, allowing the Holy Spirit of God to control the church. We need man of God filled with the Holy Spirit to lead God's church. Anything else would be out of order. Anything else? We need, you know, if I came up here this morning drunk, I mean literally drunk, I came staggering to the pulpit. I'd been out all night and I was drunk. And I got up here and I tried to preach the gospel. Y'all wouldn't be very pleased with that. But you shouldn't be pleased if the man who stands in this pulpit is not filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I've never had a drink in my life. That's the truth. But I need more of the Holy Spirit to control me. The problem I've got is whether or not I will allow him. Because you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, for some reason, is a very sensitive person. He really is. We have to be careful as Christians, because what we do can hinder other people from coming to Christ. Let me tell you how. You're in church and you look like you're mad at the world. Your wife got mad at you on your way to the church and you're sitting over here pouting. You think the Holy Spirit's going to flow through you? No, you're pouting. But if you'll get up and start shouting and say, you know what? My God is bigger than my wife. And the Holy Spirit's bigger than my problems. And I'm just going to stand up in here and I'm going to praise God anyway. And you know what? You and your wife will get things right. But you'll never get it right if all you think about, she said something I don't like. She hurt my feelings. I know some of you want to raise your hands. Already happened. Well, husbands and wives don't always get along. We need the Holy Spirit in our homes. Amen? Be ye filled with the Spirit, the Bible says. We need to be a Spirit-filled people. We allow the flesh to control. If we'd allow the Spirit of living God to control like we allow the flesh, we'd have revival. Amen? And then the promise of His presence. Look at verse 3. It says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. If you have the light, if we have the light, we shall be light. If the light is in you, you can't cover it up. If we have light, we shall be light. If we are light, we shall shine. And we shine as we shine, we will attract. The promise of the presence of God is simply this. Look up here. I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. The promise of His presence is in the Great Commission. Remember the last few words of the Great Commission? And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. We've got Him on our side. We've got His favor. He's for us. He's not against us. We've got the promise of His presence. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be right there. You say, preacher, I don't know what to say to people. Well, the Holy Spirit does. Yeah. You just go up to someone and you tell them, say, well, has anybody told you today that they love you? Well, no. Well, I just want to tell you God loves you. And I love you enough to tell you that. You know, I'll be honest with you, Monday night's a tough night for me. It would be a lot easier to stay home and just sit in a recliner and watch television. But because we love the souls of lost people, we as a church, we go out on Monday nights. And we invite people to come to Jesus because we love them enough to tell them about Jesus. And guess what? We've never come back upset. We've come back rejoicing. Because we see what the presence of God's work will do, the promise of His presence. And I will go with you. I'm going to be there with you. I'll give you the words, He said, in that hour. That's not for the preacher who hadn't prepared a sermon. That's for the guy who's out here. He don't know what to say. And God says, I'll give you the words to say in that hour to that person. We want to talk about the presence of God. I love the music today. I'll tell you, I love it when we fill our hearts and our minds just thinking about that our God is ever present with us, that He loves us unconditionally, that He is there. And you know, when I saw that dove, so help me God, my first thought was, God is here. Amen. I mean, why couldn't that have been some other kind of bird? And why did that particular bird have to be there at the particular time that the church was here? Because God is saying, I am here. Amen. And that's the second word I want to give you, peace. We need this word today because the dove is a symbol of peace. Verse 4, I believe there's a vision of unity. Lift up thy eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Last Sunday when I lifted up my eyes and I saw that beautiful white, snow white dove perched on the top crest of the New Family Life Center, my first thought was, God, you're saying something, aren't you? Peace, Ronnie. I've got this. Don't worry about it. I've got this. What is God saying to you? You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. You've gone loco. You're talking to birds now. We knew you would just go to the birds. God can speak any way He wants to speak, can't He? Yeah, I'm sure somebody's sitting out there today, probably. I'll be honest with you, I was one too, skeptical. I wanted to leave this property and think, well, that's just a bird. I mean, yeah. Then I came here Wednesday night, I had a hard time saying that's just a bird. Now, I knew that was a bird, but I thought, well, now that bird there represents the Holy Spirit. Am I right, Lois? Yeah, okay. I thought that's what you meant. That bird right there represents, so that's not just a bird. That's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. But this dove is also symbolic of peace. And I know in my spirit, and I know I'm being transparent and very gullible, when I felt God saying, I've got this. Where are you in your life? Do you have peace? Sometimes it's hard to find peace. You're troubled in your spirit. Your heart is heavy. You've got burdens. You've got troubles. You worry a lot. Then come to the one who is the Prince of Peace. Because he can bring peace to a troubled soul. He knows how to calm the waters of our life. We're talking about the vision of unity here. There's a vision of union. Now, what does that mean? Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Verse 5 says, then thou shalt see and flow together. We're talking about here, Isaiah sees the vision of all God's people coming together from the four corners of the earth. By land, by air, by sea, they come. A vision of the church's children, new Christians being nursed at her side, not sent out to be nursed among strangers. Thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. If you don't disciple new Christians, someone else will, and it will be someone of the world. That's why it's so vital that you and I learn, and I hope this will be the year that we do learn. If we don't learn nothing else this year, I hope we learn how to disciple one person. Because I'm going to use the Southern Baptist theme, who's your one, to also ask you as a church to mentor, to teach, to disciple one other person. Women with women, man with man, and then we're going to help our children. That we bring them by our side. Your daughters shall be nursed at thy side. It really means that they shall be taught, that they shall be nurtured, that they shall be helped in their walk with God. You don't leave a baby on the doorstep. You bring the baby in. Talking about new Christians. You know, many people are searching for peace today. Some are searching in the bottom of a beer bottle or a can. Some are in searching with drugs and others with entertainment. Some are searching religion. Now, there's more religions than ever. There's one for everybody. But I'm going to tell you something. There's only one that can bring unity to your lost soul. Amen. And there's only one way that man can have peace with God, and that's through the cross of Jesus Christ. For had it not been for Jesus going to that, you talking about a union? Here you are in your sin, you're lost, you're undone. How in the world are you going to get over there to a holy God? There's no possible way you could ever even stand before a holy God. But here's Jesus on the cross. He's got you in this hand. He's got his Father God in this hand. And at the cross, there's a union. He brings the two together. And you are made new. You are born again from above. You have the full assurance that you've been made right with a holy God through the precious red, ruby, royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the union that works. It's the only union that works. No other religion can give you that because all those other religions are dead. Buddha's dead. Allah's dead. All these gods, they're dead. They're dead, 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 dead. There's only one who got up from the grave. And that one, I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus said, no man can go to my Father but by me. He is the one and the only one who brings union between God and man, and that's called peace. A peace that passes all understanding. I love this verse. I need to live this as much as you do. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And then a vision of uprightness. Verse 5, middle part. It says, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Because there is a holy fear among God's people to walk upright, the hearts and hands of God's people are open to whosoever may come. Unlike the Jewish people who felt that, you know, that they were the select people. But here's Isaiah, way back here, looking through the eyes of vision, and he sees a great thing happening. Gentiles getting saved. okay? That it was not just God's chosen people. Jesus came to his own received him not. The apostle Paul was the one who went out and preached that whosoever will, you Gentiles can get saved too. Aren't you glad that he preached that? Aren't you glad? But the neat thing, there's a lot going on here, and I'm going to get to it in just a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's some powerful things happening with all the four corners of the world of people coming, people getting saved. I mean, there's a lot happening here. But let me bring your attention to this. Back in Acts 10:28, Peter was so impressed with fear that he needed a vision and a voice from heaven to help him get over it. So listen to this verse. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Here we see the church getting right. So the church is getting real. Here's the point I want you to understand, that God loves every man, every woman, every boy and every girl. It don't matter the color of their skin. It don't matter of their background, their class, their education. I'll tell you, friend, I believe the gospel is for every person. And I believe with all my heart that when the church gets right, I'll tell you where the church is wrong, where the church shuts the door because we're a white church and we don't allow black people. And there are a lot of churches like that. I've preached in them. And by the way, I don't think I'll go back and preach, even if they invited me, because that is not right. Amen. The door should be open to whosoever will may come. Amen. We all have got something. Everybody here has got something. And we all got our preferences and our desires. We all got our thoughts about how church ought to be. Friend, when we get our minds off of us and we start walking in an upright position in our walk with God and we get real, you'll see many people come to Christ. Amen. That's who Jesus died for. For God so loved the world. Okay. And then the last word, and I'm done, is purity. That's what the dove represents for me. He represents the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. He's a symbol of peace, but he's also a symbol of purity. I love Matthew 5:8, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, the pure in heart shall see God. The prophet speaks of the purity and the enlargement of the church here. So that's where I want to go a little deeper right now. Do you want to see God work in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of your church, in the life of your country? Well, let's get pure before God. How can a man, woman, boy, girl get pure before a holy God? Well, I've already told you, through Jesus Christ, and that's the only way, the one who died on the cross. But I want you to see three things about purity. Number one, I want you to see a pure provision. Look at verse 6. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. And the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah and all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense. Now, this is a remarkable verse. Notice they did not say anything about mirth. You know why? Because mirth represents death and Jesus has already died. He's alive. And here what we see happening is this. Not only wise men from the east, but from all over the world will come, the Bible says, with gifts of gold and incense. This is so significant. Not only will they receive the treasures of their people, but also the literal treasures of the Gentiles shall come to Israel in the millennium kingdom. The nations will willingly give them their wealth, much as the Egyptians willingly gave the Israelites riches when they left Egypt. God has never called a people to do anything that he would not supply the need to do the ministry. God will never call a church to do something and then allow the church to fall on its face. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Where the presence of God is, where the glory of God is, I promise you on the authority of God's word, he says, I've never called anyone to do anything that I didn't make a way. And that's throughout scripture, everywhere. I mean, if man today can come up with $5.3 million for a 30-second commercial, what can our God do? I probably need to say that again. If a business can come up with $5.3 million for a 30-second commercial, you know what? I don't really care who wins this Super Bowl. I'm going to watch it for the commercials. I want to see what makes it worth that. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I think. I'm not seeing nothing. It ain't worth none of that. But I'll tell you this. The Bible says that God owns everything. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And God will provide for His people. And that's what He's saying here. Pure provision. We're not talking about a worldly provision, an impure provision. We're talking about the provision God gives us. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. God gave us the greatest gift when He gave us His Son. Amen? And what He wants us to give to Him is our life, surrendered to Him, serving Him with a pure heart. That's the next thing. And now this is going to get a little deep. So just hold on to your seatbelt. You want to buckle it up because this is important. Pure praise. A lot of people get offended at praise. You know, I'm going to tell you why. Satan don't like it that you would praise God. He wants you to praise Him. That's why he got booted out of heaven in the first place. You know, he wanted all the glory and all honor, praise. And when we don't, I'm going to say it like it is. When we're not praising God, we're praising the devil. You're praising one or the other. You're living for one or the other. There's no middle road here. You're either for Him or you're against Him. You're either saved or you're lost. What is pure praise? It says in verse 6, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Verse 7, the latter part, shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Pure praise is the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart when you come together and worship. Then the power of His presence is openly displayed. You have an inner, listen to me carefully, you have an inner secret life, one of prayer, one of intercession, one of devotion to God, whatever you do in your quiet time, whatever you do on a daily basis with your walk with God. But when you come together and worship, your secret devotion to the Lord is openly seen because you can't hide that you've been worshiping God all week long. You know what? I'll tell you what, I used to hold back in church. Now, all during the week, I'd have a spell. I'd be at my desk and I'd run around the desk. I'd been off with some youth. I remember one time I was off with this young person and we got to talking about the Lord and I was driving this van. And he was sitting on this side. I was the driver. And I got to this part. We were talking about Jesus. And I lost it. I was about 24 years old. I put it in park. And I ran around that car like a crazy man. I just said, I can't stand it no more. I can't handle this. I can't keep it to myself. And I know people were riding by and said, look at that man. Why is he running around his car? Is he thinking something's going to happen to the car? No, something happened to me. I'll tell you, when something's happened to you and God's put His presence in your life. He's given you a peace that passeth all understanding. You can't help but praise Him. It's just going to come out. Amen. You know, it's funny how they do at these ball games. Go Rams! Who said no? Go Patriots! They've been going too long. I'm going to pull for the underdog. But here's pure praise is what's in here is going to come out. And you know what? Whoever wins the Super Bowl, people are going to walk away saying we won. Now, they didn't play in the game. They didn't do anything. They just stood. They was a spectator. But we won. We won. But guess what? Jesus went to the cross and He paid my sin debt in full. He rose from the grave and we won. We've won because of what He's done for us and in us. And I can't help but praise Him. I can't help it. I mean, if I could go to a ball game and shout, why can't I shout for Jesus? Well, church, that's not something you do in God's house. Well, let me read what He said. And I will glorify the house of my glory. Can I give you Ronnie's interpretation? God has a spell. Yeah, he says, I'm going to glorify. I mean, I don't know how you read that, but he says, he says that I will glorify the house of my glory. In other words, the people that's giving me glory, I'm going to pour my glory out, my Shekinah glory, my cloud that's so thick, you'd have to have a CNI dog how to get out of there. I mean, God just cut. And by the way, that's biblical. That God came down in such a fashion that the priest could not see the minister because of the cloud. of the Shekinah glory of God. By the way, why can't God show up in a dove or something? I mean, if he wants to send a dove to Gordon Springs Baptist Church, he can do that. He sent a pillar of fire for the Israelites. You know what? I did tell Sherry this when I got, she'll vouch for me on this. Got on the road out there, I said, well, I guess I'm so hard-headed and hard-hearted, I needed a sign. Yeah. Because I'm just like you. I get anxious sometimes. I said, well, Lord, what are you doing? I'm going to tell you what God wants you and I to do. Praise him. Amen. Quit worrying. Praise him. Thank him. For the prophet saw what was going to happen way before it ever happened. God already knows what's going to happen right here at this church. You believe that? Amen. We just need to praise him. We need to get our eyes off of us and quit worrying about our lives. We just need to praise him. And his glory will show up when we start giving him glory. Let's glorify the Lord. Last thing, and I know you're ready for me to be done. All right. Pure purpose. Pure purpose. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows or to their roofs? This is pure vision here. Pure vision. Pure purpose. Look up here. For a harvest of souls. That's what this whole scripture is about, Dale Pope. It's all about the souls of lost people. Amen. That the radiance of God's glory showed up in such a way through his chosen people, Israel, that the Gentiles wanted it. People from all over the earth wanted it. And they're coming. This is going to happen. The Bible says so. This is a prophecy. It will happen. It will happen that God will draw people from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and they will come. I've preached the message one time, if you build it, they will come. I'm believing God that we're going to be able to reach more people because our purpose is to do something to reach the lost. We didn't do something for us. We did something for him. Amen. All for him. Are y'all following this thinking? Pure purpose, pure vision. Listen, folks, he knows what he's doing. Those who God has called and with great conviction have found their pure purpose in the house of God. God's love is so strong through his people that clouds of people are coming to Jesus. That's what it's saying here. In gentleness and in humility like a dove, they're coming home. And I wonder if there's a man, if there's a woman, if there's a boy and girl would humble themselves much like that dove. Come with a gentleness about you and say, oh, God, I've messed up. Oh, God, I've sinned. I know that you're the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can go to the Father but by you. Have a pure heart today, and you want to see God at work in your life, then come to Jesus, and he'll do a pure work. Let me tell you what he'll do. He'll wash your sins whiter than snow. Oh, yes, I'm telling you right, friend. He will forgive you of everything you've ever done in your life. You say, well, preacher, that's just too good to be true. Was that snow white dove last Sunday white or black? He was white. That's what Jesus does. He takes the darkest sin of our life and washes it through his precious red ruby royal blood. And we are made right with the Holy God. Whew. I want you to listen to this song. I'm not going to sing it. But I want you to listen carefully. It's got some powerful words in it. On the wings, I think it's going to be on the screen, of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love. A sign from above on the wings of a dove. When troubles surround us, when evils come, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, he doesn't forget us. He's ever present with us, amen. He sends down his love. He sends his pure, sweet love. A sign from above. On the wings of a dove. When Noah had drifted on the flood many days, he searched for land in various ways. Troubles, he had some, but was it forgotten? He sent him his love on the wings of a snow-white dove. And I don't know how you interpret things. In my reasoning, I would just really like to dismiss that dove because it don't make sense in my brain. But it don't have to make sense to me. And it don't have to make sense to you for God's Spirit to do His work here today. And you know what? I don't know how all that works. I do know this, when a church is obedient and we are at peace with God and one another, the Holy Spirit can flow through that church. Maybe that's what needs to happen. Do you have peace in your heart today? With your husband, with your wife, with your children? If you don't, bring it to Jesus today. He'll send His Holy Spirit like that snow white dove in His love to forgive you. The only reason we still walk around with sin is because we're not willing to confess it and repent of it. He cannot forgive unconfessed sin. He cannot forgive unrepented sin. You've got to be willing to own up to it and say, all right, it's me, Lord. By the way, church, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. What would happen today if all of us came like that dove in humility, in tenderness, and said, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be the one who quenches your Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I really do desire. I'm not there yet, but I want to be a Spirit-filled man of God. What about you, church? You want to be a Spirit-filled church? So every Sunday, you look up here at Miss Lois's banner she put up here for us. May it remind us that the Spirit of God is here and He's shining on this church so that we would let our light so shine. Arise and let your light shine. Because of this cross right here, we've got something worth talking about. Amen. And I'm glad she didn't leave the cross out. Because without the cross, there is no light. But that cross now was for us. He died for us. Now, would you allow God to do a pure work in your heart today? Father, I thank You for the cross of Calvary, where that precious red ruby royal blood was shed, and that blood was perfect blood, pure blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners who plunge beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. May we come today, even as a people, and say, oh God, forgive me. May there be forgiveness here today. And may Your peace roost upon this church, upon our lives, just like that dove last Sunday was roosted on the crest of this new Family Life Center. God, maybe that wasn't a symbol of Your presence with us, Your peace, and Your purity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand.